Drip, a a drop bit, another drop bit, another drop. It keeps on going. And then you want to even all day long. Since that's just light is not good. Not light is not good. That you're bending the dough and twisting it and banging and flopping it just so it keeps on dripping. One drop of water after the other, but the water dissolves it, that's not holding it in. And then, the Gemara says that there has to be some amount of tone that is sitting without any exhaust. So the Mishnah on Man Rova Manalo says, if you have flowers with water, and you don't know whether the end comes or not, so what do you do? You stop it, you're not allowed to use it. So the Gemara says, well, how long? What's the amount of tone that it can sit? Flowers with water that it can sit, and you know for sure that it's not coming. So the Gemara says the sheer mill. If the chamesh is meaning dog and big with mine, go less than a sheer mill, without his askos, then for sure it's not common. How long is a sheer mill? Mill is alpha. How long does it take an average person to walk a sheer mill? That's the question how you meet tomorrow later in Parakisha Ha Yatomic. And I parakim I said, so Mark has an explicit statement, how long it takes to walk a sheer mill. That's the question how you meet Mark. Which is more often right than the shear mill would take 2 minutes. Now, this is really calculated, the shear mill was really 22 and a half minutes. That's how the Alibi has in this book on Jewish Kanan. And there are others that think that the shear mill was 24 minutes. The question how you eat one. That's all fine. So if you have this flour mixed with water and it's sitting there, the lead is not, so it's 17 and a half minutes, then for sure it's not yet common. There's nothing to begin to discuss. Unless it sits there baking it. Just because it sits 18 minutes, it doesn't become automatically common. So then the Mishnah has a further discussion. When is the beginning? Chibutz is the process. Is it the beginning of the process and the end of the process? If the flour was mixed with water and sitting without its dust for a long time, and the Chibutz process began, that's what we call common solution. That's spoken of in the Mishnah Memchet, and the Mishnah refers to that as Seor, Shin Yud Aleph Vav Resh, not to be confused with Sahor. Sahor is only a different thing, that's a bar of yeast. Not to be confused with a packet, a flesh of yeast, that has nothing to do with cost. A bar of yeast means that he has flour mixed with water. You let it dry, you didn't bake it, so then the microorganisms are going to keep on multiplying, we're going to eat up all of the flour, going to be left on with microorganisms. It's going to be inedible. It's not going to be roi-la-chilas, so it won't be roi-la-chilas, I can't believe it. So that's what the book speaks of when it says, so Omer said the cake and the cooking is bread, and the Sahar is that bar of yeast. It's not open in the store. It's not Fleischmann bar of yeast. It's not Fleischmann's packet of the microorganisms. So the microorganism is not common, it's not sore. But the bar of yeast, that's what the Chumash speaks of also. And Mishnah speaks of a different thing. Say, oh, Shin Kud Aval Resh. It's not spelled the same word. It's the or, it's Shin Aval Kod Resh. Say, oh, is a different thing. It means Chila Sachimus. So the Talmud have a double machloekish regarding this Say, oh. Say, oh, is the beginning of the Chimus process. And Sidu, Talmud Yud Aval Kod Kud, in the same Mishnah. And then Chesam Veis is the Gemar Achimus process. Sidu means simply, when the Chibutz process, when the dough rises so much, keeps on rising until you see cracks forming on top of the dough. That's called the tzedek. Tzedek is the crack. So if you have sufficient cracks on top, that's called common dough and gomer, and if you eat that on face you hide first. That's clearly an interference. Today, or means that you just had the beginning of the Chibutz process. So then there's a machlokes in the Mishnah between a Yud and a Mei, whether the prohibition exists on face of the Yisra Derais or the Yisra Derabon. And there's a further dispute between our mayor and our unit. When is it considered the beginning of the Chibutz process? Less than 18 minutes is nothing to discuss. What is 18 and a half minutes is also nothing to discuss. That's a little more than it's not going to become the beginning of the Chibutz process in a half minute. It's not like another half hour or something. So some while after the first 18 minutes, some significant amount of time will be the beginning of the Chibutz process. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the second of the Mishnah. When it's considered the beginning of the Chibutz process. So that's the definition of chametz. Chametz means when you have one of the chametz in the dough mixed with mayim, as opposed to meteiros, meteiros are emachitzim, and it's sitting there for some significant amount of time. Significant has to be for sure more than 18 minutes. The Gemara says, up until sheer mill, nothing happened yet. It has to be something more than that. How much longer? That's the dispute among the Tanakh. It's called Tidus. When did it say, or when did the beginning of the thing start? And sitting like this without any time. What happens, let's say, if I had the flowers that make them go, and I let it sit there for 15 minutes, and then I take it, I must say. So the Gemara says that once the matzah is baked, it cannot possibly turn into home flavor. That's the Gemara. The Gemara puts a perspective, a lamites on the base. But awfully shabishmal, it's not all that they need. This, of course, is only provided that the dough is fully baked. What happens if the dough is not fully baked? What if the dough is placed in the oven and all of the moisture dried out, but it's still a little bit raw? So if there's no more moisture, then the chibud process will not be able to continue. But if later on you'll put this into water, hot water, cold water, whatever, then the chibud process will be able to continue at that time. Then, in fact, the Shulchan says he may not necessarily have to leave it in water another 18 minutes. If you're sitting for 15 minutes before you bake this, when you bake this, it's only half baked. It's not really baked, it's just that you succeeded in evaporating all of the moisture. It's not really awful. And then you soak it for another 10 minutes to the 15 minutes from 3 weeks ago. So the 10 minutes from today will last their add up together, which I'm not that we're sitting in water. That is up to the 25 minutes. And that's a topic. Shulchan Aruch will attest this topic. Whether the Shehiyah is on the top, I had a Shehiyah from before, and a Shehiyah from later, let's say, not only makes for a baking, let's say you're sitting for 15 minutes without the dough, you're sitting for 15 minutes without his dough. So, and then all of a sudden I wake up and I start stretching it and squeezing and pushing and banging and tolling, and then I leave it for another 15 minutes. And then I take it and I squeeze it and then I put it in the oven. So it's sitting 15 minutes and 15 minutes. And in the middle I'm squeezing it and shoving it around. Are the 15 and 15 going to add up to 30 minutes? And I say, just turn into a month because it's sitting for 30 minutes without a stop. But they say, no. The Shehiyah, the two different times I have to start, you have to have one Shehiyah straight for this amount of time. More than the sheer chinus, more than the middle. So this is the topic of the Shulchan Aruch, most of the Shulchan. And it's based on this that the Hasidim started a minute. Long time ago, on the days of the going on, not the Iki Bros on Pesach. The concern was, although the Gemara says explicitly on the bottom of on the test on the base, that anything that's offering, any matzah that's baked already, cannot possibly turn into home slave matzah. It's soaking in water for a year, and cannot turn into home slave. The concern was maybe that's only because they take the matzah very well. But if they're only half baked, so the baking in the oven has only perhaps succeeded in evaporating a little water. But the dough is still raw. So now it'll sit a little bit of water. Maybe this Shehiyah now will be compared with the Shehiyah from before and cause the raw dough to turn into home. So that's where the Hasidim introduced a little homer that's known as Gibrox. Yiddish is known as Gibrox. Gibrox means that when you take the matzah and you soak it in water. And in modern Hebrew it's called matzah shuya. Shuya means to soak it in some liquid. Rabbi Chaim HaMoshe came to ask the Vilna Gaon whether he thinks that there's anything to be concerned about. I heard that the Hasidim would want to start the minute. He was very upset. And he wanted to demonstrate that he didn't subscribe to this Torah, so he put his name in the window. The Vilna said everybody should know that he does need to name on Hanbeis. That story is quoted in the Sefer Minchas Yehudatah and it's not from the Testament of Beis. In the name of Rabbi Chaim HaMoshe. But anyway, the Hasidim have such a meaning. And for those who have such a meaning, we should continue to observe the minik. We have a principle that when a person accepts upon himself a minik tzai, even though he didn't say he's accepting a nether, but the Gemara says, with the Rabban, minik tzai is binding the Talmudim. So the person has to continue to observe. And Shulchan Aruch says, until the time that he makes the Hataras Nidar, the person accepts it, minik tzai upon himself, and he wants to, no one wants to continue to observe this. Because I think that he would require very high person to go. Let's say a person has a mini test to wait 6 hours between his pleasure to go, and then he moves into Washington Heights and sees in a following minute, he only waits 3 hours. He wants to be mad and mad about his minutes. It's not going to help. It wasn't the minute that he accepted upon himself. He comes from a big Kehillah. He comes from all of Galicia and all of Russia and all of big sections of the world. So if he gets the whole Jewish community of the rest of the world, but he's mad and mad, a minute of 6 hours, right? Not his personal meaning, but he should have the ability to be. The same thing on the Gibraltar. If a person comes from a family of Hasidim, Me has even hoped that this is a mini failure, that it's not going to hold the mini ground. And you can have weddings against you tomorrow, you're not supposed to make an argument against you tomorrow. Even as a Kumar, he's showing that the Talmud works as religious as we are. But we know that our masters are just as well baked as we are masters. The whole thing is just a mind, it's just an imagination. So the real device is to stand and hold this and make it not, but the Hasidic hold this and make it not. So you cannot be, if you're from a Hasidic, you cannot be Mata Neder to be free to eat the woman you brought to you. This is not your personal mimic. This is the mimic of the Kehillah that you come from. Usually assume that, let's say, if a person came from one Kehillah, then he moves to a different community and plans to stay there. It's not Dr. Rasta. He doesn't plan to go back to the original community. Then he has to observe all of the knowledge of that community. Let's say it's Yerkir who moved to Galicia. Galician moved to Yerkide. And one has the name of 6,000, one has the name of 3,000. So the person moves to the other community, they ain't Dr. Rasta. He doesn't plan to move back. So the pastor should be, based on the Mishnah himself, that if he moves to the new community, he's no longer a member of the old community. He's a member of the new community. He no longer has to observe whatever meaning he has, what he's bound by the meaning of this kingdom. So this thing should be true regarding his rocks as well. He has clearly delineated communities, that this is a Zakashim, this is a Sinshi community. And as Zakashim moves to the Sinshi community, he plans to live there. They got the locks, it doesn't plan to go back. So he just became a member of that community. So then I'll be cautious. He would be obligated to observe this thing, or the reverse also, but that process moves to the Zakashi community. They got the locks, it doesn't plan to go back. He's no longer a member of that community, he's a member of this community. Today we don't really have clearly delineated communities. This is a Sinshi community, and this is a Zakashi community. Somehow we treat it as if it wasn't built by families. Citizenship family and Snagdership family. Within one community, you have such a blend, such a mix of so many different families. So that's why the issue always comes up when you have a couple getting married with a boy and a girl of two different backgrounds. One has the many other drugs, one doesn't. So what happens after they get married? Who based on who's been holding? So the question is that there's one unit now. Either they're both observing the drugs or they're neither observing the drugs. If the wife is in charge of the case, she should do whatever she wants. The shouldn't necessarily be stopped. Traditionally, it's assumed that when a girl gets married, she enters into the Beit HaBaal. So it's considered as if, rather than say that the husband enters into the Beit HaBaal, in biblical language, the wife is always considered the Beit HaBaal. You don't consider the husband the Beit HaBaal. Because typically, the husband can marry more than one wife. The wife cannot marry more than one husband. That's why the halacha is considered a wife as being the Beit HaBaal as opposed to the husband. So that's why traditionally thought to assume that when a girl marries a boy, when it comes to only the coming, unless they don't play for this together in two walls, it's like the last day. So she says so then it's considered like one move from one kehillah to the other. So the person now who moves to the kehillah, they ain't like the last day, takes on all of the coming of the new community. The story is told about the disputed and his son-in-law. The disputed son-in-law was a leadership. Also, Tom Cole. He was involved in Okelasho. At the same time as Abin Ezer was a Rebbe, so much older than him. The disputed son-in-law was much older than Abin Ezer, but they were contemporaries for a period of time. So when the Maharaj, used to visit the in-laws didn't serve any gebrochs out of respect for the son. So at the end of Pesach, the first Pesach that he visited by his in-laws, that he told his father that he appreciated the fact that he was so kind to him that he didn't give him a hard time, that he didn't serve any gebrochs, so he thanked him for not giving him a hard time. So he said, "What do you mean? I was kind enough." "No, that was your punishment. If you're so stupid that you don't want any gebrochs, that's your punishment. I won't give you any gebrochs." This is the real Zagat. Anyway, it's obvious that there are different minhagim about this. Many Hasidim are very, very meddled about the gebrochs. The story is told about the Shadushi Arim, that Shaila was once close to him, that a little tiny piece of a matzah fell into a big pot of soup, and clearly was shishing in the soup against the matzah. And after being the last of the shishim, but we had to do that only to the mashim. So the Shaila, what is it? The Sharim is quoted as having fasting that Allah the wrong man, but the promise is to mash, but there's no problem that Master should be the mash. It is made of that the drugs is brought to the shish. You can have seen who are the darkest, not the Kibrot. And the last their faces, which is only the Rabbanah, the Yom Shem Shalomis, which is not observed to have so their faces, so the Hasidim also have the practice, the darkest, to go out of their way to eat Kibrot. What is that based on? Some of the names, Tosfot, as well as other Hasidim, strongly say that they did not want to demonstrate that really Nikra didn't grow. Mutter is only a boomer, so that the Bezra Shalmaiza would not punish our friends, our brothers, and it's not going to want them, it's actually going to work. They want to demonstrate that it's really Mutter. Shari comes up this year, because the last 2 days of Pesach are Friday and Shabbos, so we have a din that we have a din that whatever is moved to the Friday, if you have Yom Tov next to Shabbos, if you have Yom Tov next to either Yom Tov on Sunday or Yom Tov on Friday, if Yom Tov next to Shabbos, whatever is moved on the first day, you mean moved on the second day. So the question over here regarding the Gibrox, if they're really backing on the Gibrox on the seventh day, are they allowed to eat it on Shabbos on the eighth day? Then it should remain on the Friday. Yeah. That's a special thing. We have Shabbos, Yom Tov, moves over there. So whatever, even though whatever is not our margin, we look on the other, because it's a shtei kedushas. But at the same time, we are machmir that it's an issue of achmar gedal. So that's been happening. But in this year, they will not be involved. We mentioned the Gemara has on the top line on that one day, today, the statement that they came with them, I think, the only time the flour, the grain flour, will turn into chametz is if it was mixed with water. If it was mixed with leiteris, then it will not turn into chametz. However, the Gemara seems to state clearly among Rabban and Aleph that what happens is the Gemara does say that leiteris are myla. That if you mix the flour with leiteris, it will become chametz in less than 18 minutes. Isn't this a contradiction? The Pesach says, no, it's not a contradiction. If you only have leiteris, then it's not going to be. But if you have leiteris with water, and not only will it be born to Amos, we are have to be concerned that it may even be in my heart. The Pesach on the Amos base raises the question regarding lay basin. What if you mix lay basin with the flour? Is lay basin treated as lay tears, or is it treated as water? The Pesach is not sure. The mice that the egg masses that are sold in the store are made with eggs and with apple cider. So the apple cider is made carrots, and the egg is itself a competitive for the Dina Kemayim, the Dina Kemayim. So if you should say that the eggs are Dina Kemayim, and you mix the eggs with the made carrots, so then it may be a biobiotic, and then it becomes common even in less than 18 minutes. So that's why traditionally, as the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that it's not proper to eat egg masses and face up, it's only good that we're going to eat. The bigger it is, you can really make it. We know that it didn't turn into hunger. But the longer it is, Rambam recommends to healthy people, one should avoid eating egg masses. Because the Rambam told me many years ago, why on the strike package of masses, egg masses, it says it only eaten. There's one with the proposal came, what good is that if the selling masses in America? People don't know, most people don't understand it. Why does he write it in English so people will know? So he explained that he introduced in the Strike Master Factory a special clocking machine that keeps on banging on the egg masses in such a way that it continuously has this absence. It doesn't sit without its absence for a quarter of a minute. His opinion really was strictly speaking that he looked at his egg masses and would have even asked the person in this case. Because the only time he more says that he had made payments with lying and comes to me, is it reminded of a half with me? Even if it's sitting less than 18 minutes, there's a chance that it also may become hot. But after this, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, doesn't even sit for a quarter of a minute without getting dragged on the head, without getting bumped on the head. So he thought that his egg masses were really worth the reason for non-colored again. But he didn't want people to put him in favor. They put him in favor. It's more of something worth the colored again. There is a fascinating statement that appears in the Shulchan Aruch that's taught in the Shulchan Aruch when Aruch was a young student learning by the Ramban in Barcelona. He writes in the Shemus, he remembers that he used to leave the door in the home of the Ramban, and then he used to walk outside because they didn't have an oven to bake in the Ramban. And he used to walk outside down the block in the front of Shire. He said they didn't run, they walked slowly down the block to the bakery, which was owned by the boy, and they had rented the time when they had permission to bake, and then they would bake it. So this is Kovin and Shulchanar. So it's interesting, Rabbi Chazal, who published the Ramban with his commentary, with his annotation, before he published the biography of the Ramban, thought maybe it would be worth it to visit Barcelona to see if he could pick up any additional information. So he went to the old Jewish section of Barcelona. Lo and behold, the Ramban home is still there, and the bakery is still there, and it's down the block. And it's quite a walk. He spent a few minutes of walking down the block. He said this was always the rabbi's home, and this was always the bakery, and they're both still there. So the Rashbah, this Chiddush is put in the Shulchan Aruch. Not only did he say that less than 18 minutes, it doesn't become common, so if you just sit flat with 20 letters, sit like that, even if you already needed it, and the palms of the hand are a little warm. But one might perhaps think that maybe since you added a little heat, the body temperature is 98 degrees, and maybe since you added a little heat to it, it's much higher than the room temperature. And maybe it'll be considered a mile off, and it's in less than 80 minutes. So if you take it outside in the springtime, and the sun is shining, maybe the sun is beating down, and maybe it'll be a mile off in more than 18 minutes. So the Rabbi writes them whatever concerned about it. Then when they went by the Ramban in Barcelona, they walked down the block, it was less than 18 minutes, and they weren't concerned. The Gemara now is already derived from a pasuk in Chumash that speaks of the Zeila. The Torah says that after ministering the Zeila, the Zeila means a kosher animal that never had a proper shechita. Dreva means a kosher animal that's diseased, that did have a proper shechita, but because of the disease, the shechita is not matir v'ariva. So a dreva, the shechita is not dreva, is not matir v'ariva. It doesn't have tumas v'ariva, it just has an isra achila, but it doesn't have tumas. And the Zeila means the shechita didn't have a proper shechita at all. So the Chumash says regarding the Zeila, Jews are not permitted to eat it, but we're permitted to give it as a tzedek to a non-Jew. A year, Shem Shirat, a tzedek of Acholo, or Mocha Lanocha. A year doesn't mean a convert, one who says, you're a tzedek, you need to be a kosher. Anocha. So the Gemara Masechet of the Zon Dal Samachet comments on that passage that we can write in this passage, the Zeila Haruil Ager is Kruy in the Zeila. The Zeila Sheni Kruy in Ager is Kruy in the Zeila. If you have any non-kosher food, like the Zeila, anything else like that, if you have any trace of food, that became so rotten and so spoiled that it became lips on the Akiva, so other, so the din is that it becomes kosher. However, the Gemara says, in so many of the comments, the test of it is an exception to the rule. That even though it became lips on the Akiva, so other, as long as it's still royal Akiva, it still remains lots of up until the point of lips on the Akiva, so once you reach the point of lips on the Akiva, so that's permissible. So let's add some challah. That became so moldy, that it's absolutely spoiled, not only will you really not want to eat it, but feed it to a dog who doesn't want to eat it either. This is Machiva Takel, so strictly speaking, the Gemara says that it's Mutta. This is Taka Mutta, a lot of mice, I can take it and eat it in a heart, but that's the Machiva Takel. So in the Shomanach, they both the view of the Rosh, both with respect to the Deva and with respect to Chomets, that even though this is only Achiva Ta'odom, it's Mutta by the Veil, and this is the Machiva Takel, it's Mutta by Chomets, that's only Minatheris Mutta, but the Rabbanon is the prohibition, if I sit and I eat it, so I demonstrate that as far as I'm concerned, it's not this only Achiva. All right, then I'm sitting and eating. So Minatheris, I say, what would I get so that's called in the oven? The fellow's on a sugar. He doesn't care. A normal person would never eat such a thing. He's crazy. But with the Rabbanan, we say, actually, since you personally are eating it, so we say subjectively, we judge subjectively, we say, you hold it, it's not eating this Mahima Zala. That's why he talks to the Rabbanan. So most of the poskim are of the opinion of Moshe Feinstein, and most of the Chazanish, most of the poskim are of the opinion that this is only by Mitzvah Amor, this is only if the person sits and eats it, sitting watching television, and keeps on popping more comments and more comments, and he's eating the moldy stuff. So move to the television. he doesn't realize it. He's not eating his comments are just a little bit mishmachit. What if a person has to eat something that's comment, but mishmachit, it looks like yellow, and he's eating it for medical purposes? He's not sitting and munching more and more. So just take some little pills or a capsule or something. That you can't say, actually, don't say by the fact that the person swallows it, he demonstrates that it's not mishmachit, it looks like right that he can eat. People do all kinds of crazy things with medication. You rub out things on the skin. You don't only do achino for the purpose of it. You do all kinds of things. So that's what Roba Palatim are of the opinion. Not everybody agrees. Shantari doesn't agree. But Roba Palatim are of the opinion that all medications that are missed on the achilas are kelev, even if they start from a tome, there's no prohibition there. Right? There's no prohibition there. Abonon, that the thing is technical. So why do we ever need a hashgokhan and any trace medications? What's the problem? So Moshe Feinstein writes in his paper, the Hasila, if you can get kosher, you should try to get kosher milk to avoid eating the non-kosher. But if it's not trace, what's the problem? So Rav Moshe doesn't explain, but what he probably is driving at is the following. The Ramon Yerodei, that's in the Peyala, spoke to them when I wrote Toshri Masem Savirizor. That if the mother of the baby is not well, she's not able to nurse her child, and they have to get a non-Jewish menekes to nurse the baby, and a non-Jewish woman is eating non-kosher food, so you should request that the menekes not with that during that period of time that she's nursing, the week or whatever, that she's nursing the Jewish baby, you should try to convince her that she should eat non-kosher food. Why? What is it all business? What is it all chef? She's allowed to eat all the traces that she wants. The milk that comes out is probably should put them for the baby to drink. So what's the difference whether she's eating traces or eating kosher? So the Medrash says, in connection with Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a little baby, so Miriam, yes, Bas Paro, Ha'erila, because you are Misha, Ninek, Ismino, Ibrahim, it's the same thought as Hayola, should I get a Jewish nurse mother to take care of the baby? Why should I get a Jewish woman to nurse the baby? And as she quotes in the Medrash Rabbah before, Bas Paro took the little baby to the Noshim HaMitzriyos and he didn't want to nurse from that. And she didn't understand why he didn't want to nurse. But then, Miriam explained, maybe this is a Jewish baby, but you don't want to nurse from a woman who ate kosher food. That's what the Medrash said, that the Kesherot was not very much seen on, so he didn't want to, he had such a sensation as a little baby, he didn't want to drink the milk from the women who were eating non-kosher food. So that's quoted by the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, that we all want to train our children in such a way that they may have the opportunity to turn out to be great Tzaddikim, like my great Moshe Rabbeinu, our baby will also be Kesherot was not very much seen on. So we try to avoid having them drink milk, having them nurse from people who are eating non-kosher food. So that's probably what Rav Moshe is driving at over here, that the only reason why you have to have hashgacha is possible. The only reason why you should try to get hashgacha on capsules and on pills, that this market will solve it, this market is a tell of knowing any of these things, that sugar-coated pills. But it doesn't have any stomach, they saw for it, because this might be a little something, this might be a little like, yeah, we're reading it in the chamber of voice, so there's no option there. There's no reason to write it, there's no reason to jump on it. But still, that's clear, whenever possible, want you to avoid swallowing something that's far off that's a derivative of an unkosher food. But if you don't have anything without government, so strictly speaking, all the things are kosher. The Gemara speaks of the various prohibitions in connection with comments. First of all, comments is also bachim. That says in the comments, you're not limited to eat comments, you're not limited to eat tabugus comments, anything that's a mixture of comments. Secondly, the majority of the time, we're of the opinion that comments is also utter than hanoah. Not only is it also bachim, it's also hanoah. What is hanoah? It includes it all sell comments. If they find that I have some comments on Facebook, but if I sell it to a non-Jew in order to avoid violation of my government, and when I sell it, I'm getting money already, because I'm getting paid money for it. So that's another form, that's another prohibition, it's also about more common form would be, that I'm all right to show up, let's say I enjoy the aroma, I enjoy smelling the fragrant aroma of freshly baked bread, or cake or cookies. And there's a non-Jewish bakery in the neighborhood, And I want to guess wrong. I'm based on the doctrine what is the habit of the pleasant aroma. So there are more rights to show God that even answer shall not be is brought upon God. Even I'm not in violation of Bayor by much, there's a third prohibition. Bayor is a third prohibition. But still, the answer shall not be lost about people. It's also about law. So if I go out of my way to deduct it, guess by the non-Jewish bakery, or included also Jewish bakery. If you have such an instance, the Jewish bakery, a Jewish home bakery, it's all not fair. But Shorani speaks about the case to guess by a non-Jewish bakery, a dice, the Uber, a dice, to smell the pleasant rare of the harvest. And that's a violation of the Suriyama. The question is, let's say on my way to shul or on my way to sheep or whatever, I pass by the bakery and I smell the pleasant aromas. I might be able to go 5 blocks out of the way to avoid it. But that is a discussion. The Gemara says, not to believe it. It's the actual work I'm going to have. Not to believe it because it's going to go around my way. It's a pain in the neck. So that's not called a violation of the Suriyama. But if I go out of my way to dock in water to smell the fragrant aroma, that is prohibited. That's called getting on the wall. From the comments of Pesach. I say most of the time I'm of the opinion of comments of the Ramadan, and I always say I agree. He more about the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, agree, he makes a very startling statement. It's very humble. He says, Tamea Allah Smecho. It's a wonder on you. Hey, comments of the Ramadan, Moshin, where do you come off to make such a statement? It's a very strange. Well, why did he use such a shocking statement? Tamea Allah Smecho. I'm surprised at you. Not to be able to talk to the reader. I'm surprised how anybody in his right mind can maintain such an opinion that I'm just professor of the law. Why is he so surprised? You want to have a whole discussion on 5 blocks before to explain how you know that I'm just the law. So that's a line in the Gemara that has much literature written on it, the tricon that then what in the view that really finds so startling. That the statement of Hamas should be a common confessor should be out there. I don't know how often I say it doesn't matter too much because we don't pass him on. The other thing is, we pass him the common confessor is also about Achila, the common confessor is also about Noah, even then the Shalom is also about Noah. The third prohibition, of course, is by Rabbi Moshe, the one is not permitted to have in his possession Hamas. Not only is he not permitted to possess Hamas, Dove, and Bravo, it's bread, okay, kapuk is not permitted to possess tarubis hummus. Let's say you have some food product that has a mixture of hummus in it, and the hummus is less than 50%. If the hummus content, if the grain content is more than 50%, that's called hummus to the end. But if it's mixed in, blended in, it's less than 50%, then it's bottled below, but it's nice and tough. So that's called the tarubis hummus. So hummus, the tarubis, also has a violation of body or violation. There is a dispute in places. Whether the prohibition of Bayor by Matthew and Tarubis comes in their Raista or the Rabbanan. The simple reading of the Rabbanan, the beginning of the third period, in Sotah and then Beit Samadavas, the Mishnah says, Elu Ofrim the Pesach. The Mishnah lists off Tarubis various times of Tarubis comes. The Rashi translates the word, it's a question of translation. The Rashi says, the following food, if you have it around the house, will be oiter, you will be in violation of Bayor by Matthew. That's a Rashi translate. So one is a violation by Rabbi Moshe. Ah, Tarub is common. That's what the Mishnah says. Abin Tam disagrees with Rashi. He says, yeah, there's a Bali Rabbi, there's a Rabbi. But he doesn't think that that's what the Mishnah means. He thinks the Mishnah means that Eru over the Bali must be removed from your menu. Has to be removed from the table you have on the surface. But there's no Bali Rabbi there, right? There's only Bali Rabbi there, Rabbi. Does it make that much of a difference? Religious Jews observe the image of their own like they observe the image of their righteous. But it makes a difference in the following sense. Some parts came out of the opinion of Salvation, every year used to go through this with the students or with the Baal Bapa. Sometimes our Salvation have comments for the students and not for the Baal Bapa. Sometimes they have personal comments and not for the students. Sometimes they have comments that he tries to encourage the Baal Bapa to observe as well. So this one, every year he used to bring this up with the Baal Bapa as well. He would recommend that they shouldn't sell chametz b'yem. If you have real bread cake or cookies, you shouldn't rely on the head of the fever. You should only rely on the fever's chametz for tarubis chametz. Why? So he quoted in the Sefer Kor Shor, one of the commentaries on Gemara Pesach by the same author as the Kor Shor, or Chaim Shor, one of the early operators, or the Shach quotes. So the the kosher as there is stuff in both the Gemara and Shabbos, that's what it's not said. But the Gemara draws a distinction between Dinah Derais and Dinah Derabon regarding the Aron. The term Aron means a legal picture. It's a principle that you know as well. So it's not permitted to employ a legal fiction, to be an illegal fiction. It's a legal fiction. The Torah says the not permitted to have comments in opposition. We gotta get rid of all the comments. We don't do that. We leave our kitchen cabinet full of stocked up with comments and we sell it to the non-Jews. We're really interested in selling it to the non-Jews. No, right at the bank. If we buy that, we got form of legal fiction. We just sell it to their great day. And if we make it over, we buy it back. And he really told us that he's going to go and teach this. Okay, so it's not your homage, but you sell it, then you buy it right back. Even if you give it to the guy, it didn't happen, then you take it back. The whole thing is a haroma, it's just a legal fiction. Is it, strictly speaking, it's a soika? I didn't possess your homage on case that belonged to the non-Jews, so there's no violation of the rabbi. Are you allowed to employ a legal fiction to avoid violation of the chapter? So the horoshor of Stalin quotes this passage in Gemara Shabbos, which states that Aron is only permissible with respect to a dinner of Aron and not with respect to a dinner of Aron. Based on that Gemara, that the Torah has this rumor that one would not be permitted to rely on Chayyus comments on real comments to the end, because real bread, cake, cookies, the real spaghetti, or the devil go over there, cookies, whatever they are, that's a real Baniwa Baniwa Tiberai. So in order to avoid violation of Baniwa Tiberai, you have to make it to employ a Aron. But if you only have Tarubin comments, which you probably said about the town, there's only anybody who wants to have a problem, then maybe you have a right to rely on the Rabbi Natan and to employ a Haaronet with respect to Tarubin comments. That's another observation we used to encourage the students in the Balabatis to avoid relying on the Hira comments and comments to the end. Balabatis wants this to every year, when he used to say this in Maria, to show me your feelings, please, you're right. So every year, one of the Balabatis would say, what about Schnapps? It's not considered comments to the end as a Tarubis comment. So sometimes he would say in Yiddish, they're not there. Meaning that he's explaining that in the Rosh seems to say that Shnaps and beer is considered comments to the end. And other times he would say, no, that's what the whole institution of the Chayyus comments began because of the Shnaps. Because the people had the Shnaps, there's a different opinion, but the Shnaps is considered Tarubis comment, the Shnaps is considered the comments to the end. Most Palestinians did not accept this Chumra of the Korsha. In fact, in Hesitus, in his Trubis, in his Sefer Matos Yaakov, the very first instance in Aleph, defended his position, his Tzak, that he permitted to rely on the Chayyus comments even for comments to the end. One of the big rabbis of his generation, the Rav of Hushach, which is a city in a good village in Palestine, sent a letter to the Hesitus. How can he make a lot of the Chayyus comments? It's a haram, it's a haram, they quote the different sources, and the Chayyus says, no, it's not correct. And he argues the point. And that's why most rabbis and most people rely on the tradition of the Chayyus, that one is permitted to rely on the Chayyus comments, even when one is against. And our salvation can be supported based on the brochure. Where did this whole Einfall come from? Who was the first genius to develop this idea of the Mechilas Kamas? Now we know, when it comes to Shnaps HaShmita, so he used a dreidel to sell the whole Medina to an Arab, and then there's no Medina of Shmita. Maybe there's no Medina of Shmita. People kill us and they stay with Mahas Kamas. Most people don't help us, they say, sell your own to a guy, and then they come very well. That's what should happen. That doesn't help, so who says it is going on? So who was the first genius to figure this out? So this is really an old tradition from the days of the Bala Faces. It started with the Chiris Behem Amabakeris. The institution of the Chiris Amabakeris is a recent one that started out here in the late 1700s, early 1800s. The Chiris Amabakeris, the way we have it practiced today. All the Rabbanim sell all the homes of all the Rabbanim to the God. But in earlier generations, they had something similar. There was the Chiris Behem Amabakeris. If a Jew has a cow, that's a Behem Atara, that's about to give birth to the first baby, and the first care, maybe a Zohar, maybe in a caper, 50-50. If it turns out to be a Zohar, then we'll have to do this before Behem Atara. They won't be able to shaft it until it gets a moon. And they have a lot of bigger moons. They may have to wait for years and years until we shaft this whole cow. And this man, Bukharis, tells the story that there was a Roman policeman who used to walk his beak goes right by a Jewish hawk. And he always used to know that there was one cow that they never touched. So they asked the policeman, he asked the Jew, what is it? Oh, the cow. Well, why don't you make that cow to work like you have Einstein on Torah, the Torah, or he told, yes, the holy cow, so he's born, the dog, the dog, the dog, the dog. They said, what are you waiting for? They said, wait until we get the moms. They said, why don't you make the moms? They said, without robbers. They said, so what's the problem? They took a knife and he made a moon on the payment. So the Mishnah had all discussion. Is that considered a divine curse? You're going to make the moon sound not like a chef that didn't develop his own moon or not? That's not my fault. I didn't encourage him. I didn't really encourage him. So the Mishnah has all discussion on that. So the text is right that the Bali Athes has developed this institution of Mechidas Behema Hamabakir. When a cow is about to give birth, for the first time it's called Behema Hamabakir, it's about to give birth to a core. It may turn out to be a core daughter. It's a core decay, but then it's not Lucius Porta Eter. If it's a daughter, not Lucius Porta, you'll be stuck. You have to wait to shed it until it's together. You're not going to make the womb on your own. So the Bali Athes has developed this practice of selling the Behema Hamabakir to the goy, making it the shipment to the goy. Mara says in front of one of the partial shipment to the goy, but that removes the din of Korban Eter. And the Rishon discussed which kinyan you have to make, how exactly do you transfer ownership of the talisman when you're selling it to a non Jew, when you're selling the talisman to a Jew. So we have the Shnais and Gemara, the Shemonot, that's easy enough. You sell to a non Jew, not so easy to figure out what it is. So the practice is that we make six kinyan, because on each one of the kinyan is a pickle. Even among six kinyan, there's a pickle, whether we all six together, whether you come in. But there's no place that says we're all six together that way.
Shaved with a razor. If it's shaved with a razor, I'm Luther.
So then there's no problem. Torah says you're not allowed to eat shrimp. If you eat, then we'll start to hang the shrimp. If it tastes like shrimp, that's okay. That everything is Torah prohibited. If you have something that looks as they have the exact same flavor, the same amount of Torah, that's it. So here also, there's nothing wrong with avoiding violation of an aveir by using a haram. It doesn't matter. By looking back over, as long as it's illegal, the light of legal fiction, as long as it's legal, put down, it's not in violation of the user. But the matcha is not legal to show you kaya, your haram is going to be to avoid fulfillment of the success that you have to have to live to be matcha, not in the death of the that you're not allowed to do. So when you consider the discussion, Mahira's comment is not a death. What prompts us to sell the comments today? What are we interested in avoiding? We haven't been successfully attached to these two things to enjoy the comments, and we haven't been to this life that they have gone by one and not to possess the comments. But we sell the comments, we sell all the comments, we don't fulfill the mitzvah of attached to these two. No,
not sure.
We sell 95% of the comments, we leave over 1 or 2 or 5% of the comments, and we burn. We have a little data from it, and we burn it at our table. So we do fulfill the mitzvah of attached to these two. It's a sad mitzvah if you burn a ton of comments. Give me your mitzvah, you burn the mitzvah of that mitzvah, it's the last bit of promise that you happen to have in your possession. There's no need to buy rolls and cakes and cookies, what is that, what is that? Whatever you have now, it's in your burden. So that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of that mitzvah. The reason why you sell all the promise to the goy is in order to avoid violation of body of Ryan then. So, to do a legal fiction to avoid violation of an affair, that's perfectly legitimate. If we would sell all the comments, thereby avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of that pizza, that would be improper. That would be a haram against the mitzvah. That's the generally accepted thing. Again, Rabbi Ovechkin was not there, like the Kfar Shor, like the Benitech, he was comment on comments yet. He felt that it's a legal fiction under the right, it's not right. But most of the talks came on that master to that extent. Most folks said this haram is perfectly okay, because the purpose of the haram here is not so much to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah, but we are going to burn some problems, at least not behind the burn. It's just for the purpose of avoiding violation of our own right law. That's probably why some suggest that when you burn your funds in our case, that it should really wait if you rely on the rabbi to sell your funds, it should really burn later in the day. It says in Shulchan Aruch that if you daven at 6 o'clock minyan, in our case, in the morning, and you want to go off to work or whatever, so if you want it, you can burn your funds at 7 o'clock, 4 to 7, right? If you're done, you can go burn your funds, and there's no problem. The question is whether that is Shulchan Aruch even applies to Shulchan Aruch. That was written by the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, before they had the institution of the Chiddush Tumah. But now that we have this new minyan that we won't rely on the rabbis to sell a chomei, but you're going to burn your little big, you pull the chomei at 7 o'clock in the morning, but you still have your 95% of chomei that's in your possession. So you don't fulfill any mitzvah by burning this chomei. You only fulfill the mitzvah of that mitzvah if you burn the last bit of chomei that you possess. But if I burn a little bit of chomei, then it will move loose. So where does the Tashbis have to burn the 95%? So then I got to sell out to the goat. Have the rabbi sell it to the goat. Selling to the goat is not a fulfillment of that mitzvah. Selling to the goat is an avoidance of all your rabbi wants. And so it turns out that you haven't fulfilled that mitzvah. But if you see to it at first, the rabbi sells the 95% of the bond. And then all you have left is 5%. Then I go and I burn that little bag full of comments. And then I go fill that mitzvah. I'm very glad to have comments that have a high position and they're faithful. So that makes more sense. That's why some on the hat there, if they're relying on the rabbi for the purpose of selling the comments and they're faithful, then the hat is to burn the little comments that they want to burn later. Of course, you can't wait too late. Can't fit it, you know, to wait till they have to be a violation of the Jewish country. You have to burn it. Still there for the rabbi's low comments. We mentioned earlier that although the Gemara says, raise the cost of all the Rabbeinu and the Nuri, no one is concerned about the view of Rabbeinu and the Nuri, whose opinion it was that if you cook rice with water and you leave it long enough, that will turn into hummus, so we pass it as not hummus. Nonetheless, there are more so committed by the Ashkenazi. Not to eat the kidney of the test. there's a reason that given why we don't eat kidneys, but we might have that as a practice, that we don't eat kidneys on Pesach. And there are things that the people who understand that there is no minute, so you are permitted to eat kidneys. Many of the candies, many of the chocolate candies in white American soil, they have the kosher of Pesach and they contain kidneys in. How come the Rabbanut gives the extra kosher of Pesach that it contains kidneys? And the answer is that most of the religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael are silent. The Spider never accepted the meaning not eat kidneys. That's what the Rabbanut is giving as a result of the Spider. They say kosher of Pesach for most of the government. It is kosher of Pesach. So many people quote it. They buy these, Ashkenazi buy these chocolate bars in Eretz Yisrael that contain less of it. Or other kidneys that contain kidneys in them. So the child says, they spend so much money and have all this stuff and now they can't eat it. So if they want it, people better use it in the bread. They can eat it and everything. So not too much.
You're
going to make kidneys. Make kidneys is a third of dispute. Is the mimicking against eating kidneys only applicable to the actual kidneys themselves? What about sham and kidneys? What about a derivative? Sham that comes from the kidneys. So there's a dispute about that. James Tasty Rav Cook, the father of the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, was once maker on that, and the Vazat almost put a prayer in there, such as think about that. He showed based on all the thoughts, it should really be Buddha. But the minute is lost. So we don't have this making of it. That's why the Coca-Cola for Pesach has real sugar in it, only won't be used one syrup. And has one flavor. But when it has OUP on it, when it's kosher for Pesach, then it has real sugar in it. So that's why they don't know what they're saying. Why the father has OUP? That's the real McCoy. They don't know why or what the difference is, but they know that it has real sugar in it. The reason why is because the corn syrup that's usually used all year long is shemmy kidneys. And the mimic by the Ashkenazi is that we don't use shemmy kidneys. But it is strictly speaking, is that Rambam says in Shulchan Aruch that you don't need shishim. The mimic not to have kidneys and not to have shemmy kidneys only is that you don't eat it when it's the end. If it falls into some food, then it will be both of the shishim. Then it will be both of the right. The mimic that you don't need shishim. I'm going to have a case like this. The woman bench with on corn oil. Some kind of a peanut oil, the peanut oil. Some have many that they treat the peanut oil for skin. So like I said, you want to use the peanut oil eventually. And then some of the peanut oil jumps from the container, from the lighter, into the bowl of soup. And let's say you don't have shishim, you don't know if you have shishim against the peanut oil. So the Rambam says you don't have to have shishim. The din is that since kidneys is only a mimic, so the din is that it's possible to run. Now, the corn syrup that they mix into the soda is clearly less than 50%, and you have to wave against it. But we have a club that ain't a lot, and it's a lot safer. So since we treat the kidneys and the shemi kidneys as an easy vitamin, so it's not permissible to have people to buy this Coca-Cola with the corn syrup of all you want. It's not permissible to have people to buy the candy with the kidneys that's mixed into it. It is yet, it fell in. Some of the oil, some of the peanut oil, whatever, that it's soup. So then the thing here it is, that it's a public server. That's called the name of the reason we're not doing. Regarding the peanuts, I remember when I learned in the yeshiva that one of my ordained had learned in Shanghai for a few years during the wartime. So he said that the problem is really taking peanuts in the day's marriage, and the goy used to wash the floors, but I'm just eating hummus. They said, where's the hummus? He said, what is the problem? I kept on speaking hummus. They said, where? What? When? What? He said, somebody walked on me. They still didn't know. Somebody touched the peanuts. They said, look, yeah, they never heard of it. The peanuts are hummus. That was the first time they heard that someone held that the peanuts were a kidney. And Rashi Feinstein writes that they're different than talking exactly what's included in kidneys. And Rashi, as it should be, said that he doesn't think we should add on any additional fruits or vegetables to the list of the kidneys. Enough. Kidneys, whatever we have, the rice, the cow, whatever we have, that's it. But I'm a big sad on one. Discovering new war gums and all kinds of stuff they come from India and Pakistan, some are modernized, digging up new things. Most of the kidneys, everything is kidneys. But I said, I'm a big to be back with to add on new vegetables and new grains. A new grasses into the category of kidneys. Whatever we have by tradition is kidneys and shine, that will be a bad idea. Now, I say stuff that I probably introduced a woman to the study more. That even though all trade food above the Tashishin comments is so popular that it's the Mashu. Even if the Tashishin is active against the comments, it's not going to be popular. There is a dispute that they were showing what if the comments became part of the Tashishin before Pesach, Kaidamakumai, and then it comes Pesach, are you permitted to eat this food? Or do you say, no, comments is the Mashu. So we passed them all off at the Ramah and make a cover time, but they stay twice in the year. They send the Ramah, cover goes to Ramah. And anything we had at the Mashu or Kwanis at one time, then we shut them all like that. So the cover always follows the Ramah. So here again, he follows the Ramah. So the Makaka holds that anything that has Mashu or Kwanis before Pesach is not lawful. And when it comes to Pesach, you're not allowed to eat it. And the Ramah says we don't cover like that. But then they have a Kavuk, it's a lot for lot. If you already have Shishu before Pesach, once it is possible to remain possible, and you're permitted to eat it on Pesach. But if the Talmud is occurring on Pesach, not that the Talmud has happened, not that the Talmud is settled before Pesach. The Talmud falls in on Pesach, that even if the Ashish is against it, that's not one of the Talmud is the Mashal. In Europe, they used to sometimes be an atheist. Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke about this, and Rabbi Soloveitchik sister, this is my woman, and this is in her book, and that's the family. That she remembers under the communists. I think she writes the first year under the communists when they took over Russia. So the Jewish communists went Machis and threw Chomets into the wells a month before they stopped, so that the Jews wouldn't be able, they didn't have forces to take the water. So they moved, and then everybody had to go over to the well. So soon before Pesach, a month before Pesach, they start baking the masses of Pesach. So the Jewish communists adopted threw in loaves of bread into the wells in order that the religious Jews should be able to bake their masses. So her father was a big character, a Moshe Soloveitchik. So he said, any well where they find communists, they should pour a bottle of ink in. So the goyim also won't be able to use that word. So they messed him up. I was going to do that, but that's what he did, and he got arrested. Then he had to run away from the communists. Then he ran away. And this is my book, it's driving away. The family ran away from the communists, and Mamish the way the Jews ran away from the Nazis. The same kind of a description. That they were petrified, they were going to get killed, and all things. Anyway, so this was always in the Middle Ages, this is an ancient Middle Ages, and the Jewish communists didn't throw the goyim, just to do the hack of the Jews, that they were growing. Promised into the well so that the Jews wouldn't be able to draw in the bottle of ink into the well either. So that was a big question. So many of the Shaitans said that there's no problem. Just strain out the water because Chomets gives a flavor, bread gives such a flavor into the water that it's fighting. That's a nice time of God. It doesn't enhance the flavor of the water. And it's not just that it has a slightly different flavor, it has a slightly inferior flavor. Clear water tastes much better than water that has the flavor of crummy water. The crummy water. So that's why many Christians are of the opinion that the chomet is bubble. Just grate it out, make sure you don't have any particles of chomet. The flavor of the chomet, even though it's, you can discern the flavor because it doesn't taste as good as it is without the chomet, that's called Lesson Tam of God, and that's Luther the Pesto. That's what the Machaber passes. There are more than Machmir. Because the Ramah followed that opinion of Rishonim that even though the din is like that and all the other instruments that place the top of God is Luther, when a trade for the food is flavoring the kosher food, but it's plenty of it to mix us. The kosher food tasted better before this flavor fell in. Now it still tastes good, it's still edible, but it doesn't taste as good now as it did before. That's what place the Tam. The God, so the Ramah is not going to place the top of God is Luther, it's based on people. Chomets to Pesach is the Mashu. Chomets to Pesach is not his body. So the Ramah has this big chumer that if you have a well that has chomets thrown in, you can't just filter out all the water and assume that it's kosher. The Lesson of Tam of God is considered Mashu. That's why the later parts we discuss the process. How can you ever drink any water from the ocean? How can you ever drink any water? Someone must have dropped a harmonica, a sandwich. Damage in the water is not right. The Pacific, the Atlantic, no, it must be. But isn't there a mushroom in front? I mean, flavor? So why doesn't the flavor of the chomets? Mushroom means that Shisha doesn't have it. Unless the Gam doesn't have it. there is a drop of water somewhere in the ocean, in the world, the seven oceans. They all connected together towards the end. When it comes to the end, there has to be, that there has to be a shear that I say, speak less than Mashiach. If it's one particle in 5 billion, trillion, billion, millions, then it doesn't count. So that's a good question. What's the shear? Because that comes up a lot in the food industry, in the kashrus endorsement. Sometimes they have a trace ingredient that's mixed in, and it's one particle in 5 million, trillion, billion. So what second is it? Is that called a mushroom? And then you call it even less than a mushroom. And that's the question. There is a further dispute in Shulchan Aruch with an Abba, and again, not Nefer Ashkenaz, but they learn the Skabbos. The Shabbat comes up every year. Every year, some folk meet with the Shabbat. Cowboy, the wife goes shopping or whatever, she goes to visit her parents. And she leaves the husband alone for 2 hours, and he's going to dry, he's going to make some fried eggs. So the husband is there to sleep, and the wife leaves and takes a cigarette frying pan. He takes the egg, he puts it on, so he goes like he always does. He takes a hot cigarette door, and he starts turning over the egg to the frying pan. So the child is currently the fork. So the thumbs fork hasn't been used in 24 hours, more than 24 hours. The wife was mainly in the kitchen for the first 2 days of Yom Kippur and the first few days before Yom Kippur. So the thumbs fork has not been used for more than 24 hours. That's called the kli she'ena ben yom. So if the kli she'ena ben yom gives off a kli, it's burning hot, the eggs are burning hot. So there is a trace of kli, a comet goes into the egg, but it's she'ena ben yom. So Leah, the cliche in the Yomo, the Gemara considers as a nice in town of God. The point of the Mechaber is okay, but the Ramah has to look for it that not only is the Chomitz in the well, not only is that kind of nice in town of God considered a Mashu in the source of the Pesach, even a cliche in the Yomo is also considered a nice in town of God, and that's considered a Mashu, and that's also us of the Pesach. There are other Rishon who would not agree, not everybody would agree that this is also called a Mashu, but that's the Ramah is not from our and that's in terms of Yom, and in a cliche of the Yom. That's also a form of Mashu. The point of the Ramah, not like the eggs. The eggs just became common. The Shadow, what about the pen? The pen also became common. The bleed goes from the fork into the egg into the pen. So the pen, the frying pan became common. Okay? So you can't use the frying pan for the rest of the paper. So the question is going to come next year. You have to capture. You can't cash it without pizza, because comet is the mashu, so the comet is the will go out into the water, then it's going to go back into the pit. So it doesn't have to be achieved. So you can't cash it things, but can you cash it after pizza? Or maybe you should say you don't even have to cash it the next pizza. You have to cash it again, because it is a comet, all year long is bottom of the shish. Only comet is with pizza. It's not bottom of the shish. The comet you can't bottom before pizza. Then when Pesach comes, we say, God, there's already this bottle, so there's no problem. So should I say here, the Chomet Dikah 4, the Shadah comes up every single year that I know. People have seen the Shadah every year. Why should one wait for 2 hours, half an hour? The husband makes everything straight for them. So the question is, regarding Pesach, Shnas, Tov, Shin, Nun, Tet, the Chomet was, the Mashu Chomet was nibble into the frying pan before Pesach Tav Shin Nun Tes. So that's Mashu Shin. This Bakul Kaidam Pesach is Musa, and he said no, but it was Nisarim on Pesach Tav Shin Nun Tes. So that's treated like Chomet to Pesach, that is the Mashu. So then you gotta do Hakot. After Pesach is over, you gotta do Hakot before next Pesach. Well, he said no. By the time next Pesach will come, we'll consider it as Chomet Shekhan, it's not going to come in our Pesach. I know what happens with Pesach. Tav Shin Nun Tes. And it will come to Tav Shin Nun Tes Pesach, and we're going to be in the Tav Shin Nun Tes. So this is the major Machloekis between Rebbe Akiva Eger and the Yid Machloekis, Sidi Shereb. The Sapper has a great grandson. So Yid Machloekis has a true statement that's called Heshin Moshe. So that's a famous Machloekis of a Kibbeh and Heshin Moshe. And there are different talking among the fasting council, how to be Mahliya. But the bottom line, you've got to be careful to make sure that you don't use the Chomet to go forth. Now, the Gemara makes it very clear about Lamed on the Talmud and starting that there's no violation of Ayurah by Mosse on Chomet to go forth and stand and forth and not. There's only a violation of Ayurah on food. If you have a Mahliya of Chomet in the past, that's not a problem of Ayurah by Mosse. And there's no need to sell the past to the goy in order to avoid buying or buying us. In fact, many Protestant point out that if they sell the toxic fan to the goy, they have to basically buy it back and have to perform to be them all over again. We have a special mitzvah, which is generally assumed to be a mitzvah in the Torah, that if you buy pots and pans, if you buy metal pots and pans that were once in the possession of a non-Jew, there's a mitzvah you have to be careful in the kosher of mikveh before you're allowed to use it for eating purposes. It's like stupid. You buy a pair of pants, you buy a dress. So the Gemara says there's no need to be careful with the mikveh. It's only before you do this. But if you buy clothes tonight, pots and pans, then you have to be careful with the mikveh, many hold. If it's glass ware, then the field is only required to do that. One of the metals, but most of the Rishonim are learning more of the Shinto, that this is the mitzvah and a curse. So many people point out, if you're going to sell your pots and pans to the guy, then buy it back again after the pay, so then you have to be stuck with it again. You have to be looking at it again. The second time, in fact, there's a famous story about the Chazanish, that the last Pesach he lived in Vilna. He lived in Vilna right before he moved there to Israel. So the last place that he was in Vilna, he had a long complicated dream, and the dream had two parts. One was about the Mechira's comments, that those people who sell the pots and pans when they buy it back after the table and came from yet. He woke up and he was telling everybody about it, and he told them before the Chazanish pointed it out already had started. He had it in his dream. And then the second half of the same dream was about him that he should go there to Israel. And then he'll become a famous man. She did move there, so then again the same. Anyway, that's the generally accepted opinion that there's no body or by Monte and Leah came, there's no need to sell the pots and pans. And it's generally accepted that if you will be back with the sell the pots and pans, when you buy it back in the door, it will have to be sold with Caleb all over again. So it's highly recommended that one should not sell the Caleb. The Shulchan points out that the Shabbos HaKorah, the Shabbos before Pesach, in Parshas Tzav, and they say the reason why it happens to work out like that is that in Parshas Tzav, the Torah writes the words of HaKorah. The Chumash writes the din of Merigo Shtito, it's not exactly the same as HaKorah. This is what HaKorah says twice in the Torah. Once in Parshas Tzav, if you cook the Korban Chatos in a pot of Ratan, so you only committed to eat the carbon chatos, you don't rely on that place. But let's say I cooked the chatos, and I ate it all up, and I washed out the pot of the pan, and I put it back in the cabinet. So the pasuk tells us that that pot becomes trade. Even though it's clean, it's thick and thin, there's nothing in it. That pot becomes trade when it comes to Alos HaShachar. But the belief is the pot becomes nicer. The carbon chatos, if you leave it till Alos HaShachar, then after, if you leave it till Alos HaShachar, then you have to finish eating it before HaShachar. It is a hard to control the Kalabit. But on the level of the rice, if you leave any of the Korban Chatos, the still a lot of shaka becomes nicer. Here, I ate everything up, I washed out the pot, but there's a bleed of flesh in the pot. So that pot becomes strange when it will come a lot of shaka. So the Torah says you have to capture the pot. If you want to use it tomorrow to cook another Korban Chatos, you have to capture the pot. That's called Mariko Shtim, special mitzvah. You have to capture it with burning hot water and then mix it up with cold water afterwards. We have such a meaning where we capture the trade for Caitlin, so we capture it with hot water with burning hot water, then we mix it up with cold water afterwards. Place is right on the lid of the mouth and our lid is dark. We don't know what the water is based on. When you stay down in the morning, you have to mix it up with cold water afterwards. So they're guessing that they probably is there, the mitzvah Mariko Shtim, the more it doesn't talk, it's there, it's not happening. That Mariko Shtim means we're having a good time. That's really the deal. They only apply to Korban. It doesn't apply today. We don't have any parts that have a Bliya of Korban. But the Negev Zeche, to that list of Mariko Shtiva that was in Parsha Tzav, that's how many today. If you didn't throw it, if you leave it in front of the Hadol, with the burning hot water, then you didn't throw the top with cold water. Later in Chumash, at the end of Chumash Ba'alit, on Parsha Matos, the Torah describes what happened after the Mohammed Midian. The Jews waged war against the nation of Midian, and they wiped out part of the enemy and they confiscated the pots and pans, and it says that they captured the pots and the pans. There, the description of the capturing process is a little different. It says those pots, those utensils that were used for broiling hams and broiling tray for the food to have a new legal. Those that were used for cooking tray for soups, the flip was sufficient with that goal. So the more I lived, that's how we started. I posed this question. How come the parsha's done when it speaks about capturing the process of things that we use for cooking with our brothers? It only says over there, how well. Then it says the word is that legal. Why? Sometimes you'll boil the chassa, it's not a boiler, and you should be quite legal. How come it's done? It only says, I got it. How come the parsha's matter, but it's not a legal? It says sometimes you need legal. Sometimes you have to burn it out. Before the kapotas, the glee was idealization, then the capturing process has to be idealization. And if the glee was idealization, if you cook trace the soup, then I go with the capturing process is idealization by capturing it with water. So the more important discussion, and there are different opinions, so we talk like the concluding opinion in the more is that there's a difference. In Parshas Midyon, in Gilead, like Midyon, in capturing the cable from the Midyonim, the cable we use for trade for food. That was a surabola. Since it was not a surabola, the Torah requires sometimes legal. If it was like the Hirsch, then you have to have legal. But by Torah Chatos, when you cook the Torah Chatos in the pot, everything was kosher. As long as you don't trade for the Kamba, what is a shaka? The next morning, I've already washed out the pot, and the glee is still there in the pot. That will become trade for the morning. So since it was a terrible, at the time that it was legal, everything was kosher, so you never need legal. It's sufficient with Hebrew. The Gemara has another difference, and the difference like that, so let's not another in the Torah. The Gemara in Heter Kol HaBotam, and so at the end of the Chulam, the Gemara has another distinction between Heter Kol and the Surah Kol, and that's what the Rishonim call, not the Bar Nas, that the Rosh Hashanah is a place in town, Bar Nas in town. It goes as follows. Let's say I have a little big pot. And I want to capture the milk pot to make it fire. If the question is there, maybe not to. Another question. Leave that out for people. But let's say I have a little big pot and I want to capture it to make it fire. So what do? So you take the milk pot and you have a big pot full of burning hot water, bubbling water, 212 degrees. Voila, wood, and then I take this fork or this spoon or this pot and dip it in for a few seconds, 5 seconds, and we'll leave it out, and it becomes crushed. The face is bothered with a kasha. The burning hot water will cause the building to leave to go into the water, but what will prevent the building to get from flying back into the fork, into the pot? If it goes into the water, it's going to come back in into the fork. So why shouldn't you say that we came to living again? Why the pot has rock HaKadosh to know not to be Bolea? In fact, that's one opinion of this. The pot is only going to be Bolea other things in the world, but it's not going to be Bolea back. The flame that just came.